high school, sophomore year especially, I was, like, such an alcoholic when it came to vodka. And I just, like, created this saying in my head that vodka is water. What's up, everybody? Nate Sarantino here, back with another episode of the Freethinkers Emergence Podcast. And today, I have my great friend, my homie, one of my favorites, Rowan McGonigal, with me. Rowan.
Hi, buddy. Hi, Nate.
How's it going?
It's going good. I'm really happy to be here. It's really nice.
Bro, I am so happy. I love sharing my studio with people, like, showing them and this, getting the spread, all this beauty, like, all this great work I've done. So, I put a lot of time and energy into this studio, building it, making it what it is, and now we get to sit here.
Oh, my God.
And shoot the shit.
Yeah, dude, this place is incredible. Like, I've seen pictures of it. Never did I imagine it would look like this or, you know, be set up like this with the whole room kind of being split up into two. And
yeah, it is really cool. I was going to do some vlogs at some point and show everyone, like, what I have for a setup, and then I never did, and I accidentally deleted them all. I just told Rowan about this. So last night I was checking out. I have a affiliate link with Lib Pristine, and I was trying this was with Chalk, and I was trying to get into my account, and I had to confirm an email from them, and my email was full because I had no storage on my Outlook for my OneDrive. And I was like, all right, well, let me just delete some stuff. And I guess all the things I've saved to my PC saved to my OneDrive instead of the saving to the PC's hard drive itself. So everything's on the cloud. I deleted my cloud storage, and then I deleted a whole podcast, the one I recorded the other day. Kind of pissed about that. It was on overcoming obstacles and realizing all the challenges are the things that make you grow. I was going to talk about how I'm leaving to go somewhere very special. Still not going to tell you all what that is yet. Keeping it a little bit of a secret for now. But it's going to be a great surprise when it comes out. With that being said, yeah, I deleted that podcast. Now I'm just kind of dealing with it. It's like,
kind of out of luck.
Yeah. There's nothing I can do with it. What's gone is gone. And now I'm back in the present. But anyways, moving forward. So, Rowan, what have you been up to lately?
What have I been up to lately?
You came from work, right?
I came from work.
How's work? You gotten a lot of promotions.
Yeah, but at the expense of my body and mental.
Yeah, dude, that's how I feel about doing flooring.
Yeah.
And it's the mental is not as bad. It's more this, like, I go to work and I'm this, like, this is whatever. I can feel like death for a bit. I know my life is set up the way I wanted it to.
Exactly.
And I'm just making my paycheck so I can make these big moves, like the one coming at the end of this month.
Exactly. It's like, I don't look at it as, like, this is going to be me for the rest of my life. I look at it as, like, you know, I kind of can make some money right now, you know. I can do this for a couple years, get out of it, and just, you know, move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of look at it in, like, bites of years. Like, we went through elementary school for a couple years. We went through middle, high school, college. Some people did. Like, this is my, like, six-year degree, you know, maybe. I'm already 3 years into it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just, like, learning the trades, you know. Maybe I'll go to a different...
It's like carpentry experience, something like, right?
Exactly. I do wood walls and metal walls, so I kind of get to play with, you know, hot stuff, and I get to play with sharp stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. When people ask me what I do sometimes, I don't ever really say this, but it's funny. I say I work with wood.
I work with wood, yeah.
Yeah, all day long.
All day long.
Sometimes I sand it. Sometimes I put it in.
I rub it.
Yeah, I slap that shit on the floor, and then I just, like, I bang on it.
Sometimes
until it goes together right.
Sometimes you just walk into a room, you slap that shit on the floor, and you just...
And then you just bang it, bro. Bang it into place.
I don't know flooring. I can't...
Sometimes you have to nail it, too.
Damn. Gotta nail it. You gotta nail it.
Always.
Always.
Yeah, flooring sucks. Just letting you all know.
Dude, but, I see the size of their knee... like, the knee pads they wear, and I'm like, oh, your job sucks. Like,
yo,
you
literally,
are on your knees all day long.
Dude, my old boss didn't, I, like, never used knee pads, and it was so bad. Like, I stopped working for him, and I ended up working for this other guy, and I am so glad I did that, because it's been so good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You want a boss that looks after their body. Like, I want to work for the guy that is, you know, 30-something and running up and down Mount Monadnock twice a day type of thing. Not this guy who's, like, a 35 and has dentures because he smokes too much. Like,
yeah.
There's two different bosses I want there.
Yeah, I know the vibe. So, work has been good. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been working on my podcast and stuff, building Save Your Services up. What do you got going on the other side? Anything? What do you do? I know you're really into cars. Me and you have the a lot of car experience together.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that WRX.
Yeah.
Recently, a lot of cleaning, a lot of cleaning and a lot of tinkering. You know, I got a bike recently, so I'm trying to clean that up, make it run nice, all that. But more importantly, I'm trying to like clean up my house. Clean up my act, maybe.
Nice.
Maybe pay my dad rent. Maybe. Perhaps.
That's we'll good. See. I mean, for me, living here, all I do is pay my utilities. I pay for any utilities I use, and that's my rent.
I like that.
And it's like a good way of, now you're not living here for free, but you're not paying to have a place to stay. Mm. You're paying for what you use.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is. I think that's the best way to do it, especially I don't see a problem living with your parents for a while, but you need to be adding to the family and adding value to the house, adding value to everything. It always, you need to be adding value, not just in your family, but this goes for every area of your life. If you're not adding value, you're most likely subtracting.
Oh, yeah. I think about it at work all the time. I see guys, like, moping around, you know, talking smack, talking shit. I'm like, guys, the secret is we just put on a smile and, you know, encourage one another and help one another, and we'll actually, you know, feel better about this job. You know, we don't have to butt heads 24/7.
100%, bro. Dude, it's, you know, nobody truly loves that job. Actually, that's a lie. Some people might. Some people honestly might, because there's got to be some.
There is the truck driver, and he loves it. He wouldn't do anything else. He just, you know, he's like, it's my world. I get on the highway, it's my world. It's my rules. Like, I am, you know, 10,000 pounds, 12-foot wide trailer, oversized load, going through the center of Boston. Like, he just, you know, this is my job. This is what has to be done, and I'm the guy to do it. And I'm like, yeah, Curtis. Yeah. Get it, Curtis.
I love that, bro. I love that so much. Yo, I'm going to spark this incense.
Go for it. Spark that.
Yo, so
smoke that.
Besides Curtis being a G, loving his job, you talked about people butting heads. Like, what's that like? Because I know, like, when I was working at the fish market, the one of the biggest factors into me leaving that was more than just financial was all the drama.
Oh, yeah.
It was, so it was very, very clicky, you know. There's locals involved, and then there's out-of-towners. And then there's some people who are locals who can vibe with out-of-towners, and some out-of-towners who are just like, wow. Like, everyone really liked me, and it was cool. And eventually, I was, like, so high up with, like, Adrian, who was my boss and the owner of the fish market. And he would do so much for me, and I'd try to repay by working my hardest and doing as much as I could. And as I went through the years, like, my third, fourth year, I was working more than everyone else. And then eventually, I could only work so much as he couldn't afford to pay me so much. Because I was getting too much overtime. And as a small business owner, you can only pay someone so much, but you realize these people, they have to, one, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And some people carry more weight than other people. So, like, I'm sure there's people at the business you're working at who are carrying far more weight than other people. Some people probably lackadaisically go about their day like, oh, I'm going to swing this hammer and, like, half-ass it 50% versus other people who are like, yo, this is my job and I'm going to get this done and I'm going to do it the best I could possibly do, because how you do anything is how you do everything.
Exactly. The guys that complain about getting paid the least do the least amount of work. The guys that, you know, do the most work don't complain about how much they get paid, because the boss sees it. You know, there's two main types of people at my work. They're the hustlers, and then they're the I'm here for a paycheck. I'm here for a stable paycheck because I know if I show up, nail some things to a wall, I'll be fine. I just have to show up on time. There are other guys that look at it as the more footage we get out the door, the more money we get back into the facility, the nicer the factory is going to be, the nicer the break room is going to be, the bigger bonus we get at the end of the year is going to be bigger. You know, they're all focused on like, oh, I'm just going to make this as easy as possible. I'm going to get high literally from the time I get here to the time I leave. And, you know, wonder why I feel like shit. I'm like, dude, you're drinking Mountain Dew. You haven't had a glass of water in 10 years. You have no upper teeth. You wonder why you're in a shit mood?
You forgot to mention the dip packed in his lip all day.
Oh, yeah, dude. He had three different flavors of disposable vapes on him at all time, and a cart, and a Glock, which you probably shouldn't have had now that I think about
it. At work, bro? Dude, that's wild. dude, what? Don't you work, like, out in Wilton area?
Yeah, it's Hicks out there, bro. They don't care. There's so many guns out there.
That's so funny. Wow.
Maybe I shouldn't trust him with a gun, but
I gotta defend myself from the wild animals.
There's something in the water.
Bro, literally.
That's what my buddy says. He's from, him and his brother are from Lowell. They grew up poor and low. Their parents. Oh,
there's definitely something in the water there.
Oh yeah, definitely. But no, they came up here and they met some of the Wilton kids, and that's their running joke. It's just like something in the water around here, man. Just. I'm like, dude, just let us be. We're fucking weirdos. Let us be weird. Let us be a little dumb. You know, maybe our education system wasn't the best, but we're making the best of it.
Yeah, for real, though. For real. Yo, that's so funny. Yo, I'm glad that the people who care, and the people who don't, they'll just end up losing their jobs.
That's what ended up happening, is, like, all the ones that just showed up for a paycheck don't last. And, like, I don't remember their names.
You don't have to, because that's how unimportant they were. They weren't even, like, second-hand characters in the movie, bro.
Exactly. But, like, I can remember Pete's name. I can remember Rich's name. They were fucking tough motherfuckers. They got shit done. They came here for a paycheck, but they also came here to make sure that everyone else got a paycheck. They made sure that the business stayed afloat. They made sure that, you know, shit came through the door and shit came, you know, went out the door.
That's what you got to do. The idea of running a business is making sure it runs efficiently. If you're not doing that, then you're probably slowing things down. I'm really black and white, where you're either adding or subtracting with everything. And the idea of not caring about your work fully means you're definitely subtracting from the workplace environment. And that one, for Savior Services and any company I have in my entire lifetime, I am going to be so concerned about culture and making sure people love working there. If people don't love working there, then that ruins everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, when I was, you know, doing my first busboy job, the owner of the restaurant came up to me. He's like, yo, can you believe this kid? I just asked him, it's his first day, you know, how he's doing, you know, how he likes his job. This little kid says to me, oh, it's a job. And, like, I got offended by that. I was like, damn, this kid has no respect. It's just a job, dude. No, dude, it's your money. It's his money. It's everyone else's money. It's your friend's money. It's, you know, you, if you all collectively slack off, there will be no more business. It will go out. Businesses go out of business all the time.
Like, yeah, real shit.
You have to look after it. You have to, like, do the hard, nasty shit. You have to get up at 4 a.m., you know, 6 days of the week and show up for 10 hours and be like, this is fucking what we do.
Yeah, especially when you're first building stuff, like, that those beginning stages. I mean, I've made about $500 with Save Your Services in 2 years, and I've had one consistent client, and I've helped him almost indescribably, this from going like rock bottom to like being able to handle himself. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say anymore because of non-disclosure, mm-hmm. but it's he's made a complete turnaround, and I'm so proud of how far he's come. And this goes to show, like, when you surround yourself with the right people, it can make all the difference. And I really wanted to kind of talk about this, and I'm glad I just got to this track, was me and you, like, we talked in high school. That we met each other at Academy for Science and Design, the public charter school we went to in Nashua. And me and Rowan, like, we always kind of fucked with each other, but we didn't really start talking as much until, like, junior year, maybe? Yeah,
junior, senior year, yeah.
And, that's what it was. Yeah, and then we eventually started talking more and more. We both kind of realized, like, we were into cars, and there's just, like, all these other things. I remember, like, the Adam LZ stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah. I was like, oh, shit, someone likes Adam LZ? Someone knows about him?
Yeah, dude, I used to watch his stuff so much. I don't really watch him anymore, but I know he's, like, Formula One drifter now, so he, like, he's chasing the dream. I love to see it.
Exactly. When I, like, that was the, him and Rob Dom were the two people growing up that I was like, you two are just going for something. You two are just putting your head down, being like, I know there are naysayers. I know there are people saying no, but I'm going to figure it out. Like, I was looking at it. My senior quote was from Rob Dom, and it was, for those of you saying that I don't know what I'm doing, you're right, I will. And it was, like, the way he said it and in the context that he said it was, like, I'm doing something that's never been done before, but I'm going to figure it out because I'm going to.
That's how I feel about my companies, from Save Your Services being the foundation to my next company, which will be a based science, or not science, psilocybin based therapy company. Mm-hmm. But I want to just focus on mushrooms as a whole and not just psilocybin, but I want the forefront of it to be psychotherapy, mm-hmm. where we also offer all these nootropics and these other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so many branches to it, but the idea is to make it a non-profit.
I like that.
I want to help people, and I know that mushrooms are really powerful. Mm-hmm. Anyways, getting back to this high school thing, there was a lot of people at that school that did and didn't fuck with me. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. There's places I was like that anywhere.
That's true. Well, I feel like I was always an outlier. In a lot of senses, especially since...
You should have... Don't take this the wrong way. You should have gone to public school. You should have been a fucking normal...
Yeah, I wasn't made for that school. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe if I didn't go to ASD, I wouldn't have survived high school. Like, I would have died from my own stupidity. Yeah. Like, I was just the kind of person who, like, went so all in on whatever they were doing when it came to the drugs and the alcohol during high school. I would, like, I remember there was this video of me my junior year, and I woke up, and there was leftover beers, and I just started chugging them all. And this was at, like, a party for hockey.
Damn.
And I was just like, I can't let these go to waste. And, Like, people.
I'm doing nothing for the rest of the day. Fuck it.
But I was. Like, I had to drive after and shit. Like, it wasn't like, I'm doing nothing. I definitely had things I had to do. And I was just like,
I got court in 2 hours. Fuck it.
Yeah. And nah, it was, there was, like, I remember junior year was the first time I ever had a real run-in with the cops, and me and my friend were smoking weed at this park at, like, 3 in the morning. We had consecutively been sneaking out of our houses and going places smoking weed, and this person's, I don't know how he's doing now. Last time I talked to him, he was going down a worse path than I intended him to go down, but...
yeah.
You know, that's how it goes.
Sometimes, yeah.
And anyways, this was like, he was my best friend from like second grade till like junior year. And then junior, senior year, I had to cut him off because he started doing shit that was really bad.
Yeah, when you start like doing ketamine on the regular, I'm like, all right, bro, what's going on here? I don't like this. I don't want to be a part of this.
This dude was doing the H with the hero. So, you know, that's all I can say.
Yeah, nasty.
Yeah, no, and I just remember that we met up one night, and he was just like, don't worry, bro, I, like, got this completely under control, like, I know when not to, I know when to, and I was like, all right, buddy.
you're on H. I don't think that's something you can just...
Yeah, dude, I feel really bad for him, but I also can't because, like, everyone has the right to choose what they want to do. I know this is, like, public knowledge because this dude's talked about it on his podcast, but there's this guy named Brad Lee, and I've followed him for years now. And, like, when he was probably, like, in his 20s or something, I don't know how old he was, but he said he did crystal meth, and he, like, went on, like, a 3-day bender or some shit. After that, he was, like, never touching it again.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt with, I don't think I've ever done anything that bad. Maybe, like, drinking, like, Everclear. Like, I remember one day I chugged half a cup of Everclear at a party, and I just remember being blackout to the point where, like, I shouldn't have survived that night, and God's grace is the reason I'm alive, and those two people I was with there didn't get charged with my death.
Yeah.
Because they, they coerced me into drinking this shit, and...
Mm-hmm. It would have been on them.
Yeah, it was. If I died that night, they literally would have been like, "Well, fuck! Like, we're fucked." Because everyone would know that. It was just like that was
that was them. That was them that did it.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm really fortunate that I'm alive, and there's like we all go through these experiences. My high school experience, yeah, ASD was not the school for me, but
no,
I also was, like, stoned every day, passed my classes.
Preach.
Yeah, dude, like...
Preach, brother.
It was like, well, if no one's gonna stop me, then let me do it, like...
That was the thing. That was...
Dude, Mr. Marsh walked in on me ripping my jewel one day in the bathroom at the urinal, and I was just like... Aw, shit.
Damn,
and he just looked at me, and I was like, holding my breath.
Yeah. There was one time Mr. Jenkins came in. He opened the door. He's like, smells like smoke. You smoking in here? And I was like, no. He's like, okay. He shut the door and left. I was like, motherfucker, I should have been smoking something. I could have gotten away with it. Like, he took my word for it. He was like, okay.
Yo, there was this time Matt Heider found Miss Rebovich's vape in the bathroom, and I took it and I started using it.
That was wild. That was crazy. I was like, oh, old people do it too.
I was such a menace. Oh my god, I was such a menace.
Chiefing the fucking science teacher's bathroom fucking vape. Dab pen vape.
Yo, bro, like, it's so bad.
It was like an actual, like, box mod vape out of a 510. So it was like a massive battery for that tiny little cart screw. And I was like, this is hilarious, actually. This is really funny.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, get some water in that, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, water's great. Yeah, I've been on that lemon with the water lately. It's so great for detox, and it helps, like, especially with my liver.
Oh, yeah. I love lemon. Lemon?
Oh, yo, I remember what I was going to say earlier.
What?
So, now how I, like, I accidentally deleted everything.
Oh, yeah.
I went upstairs, and I just, like, drank some vodka, and then I was like, all right, everything's going to be all right.
Every little thing.
That was, like, my first time drinking hard alcohol in a while. Like, mm-hmm. a while. And it's crazy because, dude, in high school, sophomore year especially, I was, like, such an alcoholic when it came to vodka. And I just, like, created this saying in my head that vodka is water. And I just drink it. Like, so, like, imagine. It
looks the same, yeah.
Imagine this going, like.
That's wild.
No, that's what I would do. And I can still do it to this day. And it's dangerous. It's like it's a game we don't want to play.
No, yeah. Vodka touches my lips and I'm like, get that shit out of me. Where's the whiskey?
Yeah, I was saying to myself the other day, like, if I'm going to start ever drinking hard alcohol again, and, like, in a social aspect, like, me drinking vodka after getting pissed off, like, I went downstairs and, like, hit my head on the door a few times, and then I punched my punching bag as many times as I could until my knuckles were like, nah, you're good, bro. Like,
yeah, chill.
Stop.
I love when the knuckles tell you to stop.
Dude, they're still swollen as fuck today.
Oh, shit.
Dude,
yeah.
And then, like, I have this big ass peg on my forehead. Yeah, bro, I went up to the door downstairs and started hitting my head on it, saying, like, no way I just did that. And I was so mad at myself. Fortunately, I honestly didn't lose that many things.
Yeah.
For some reason, all my business-related documents were actually saved to my computer. I just lost a bunch of different podcasts that were already posted that I like to save the files for. Yeah. But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I only lost 4 hours of work and 1 20-minute podcast that I can never recreate.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everything's off the top of the dome.
Exactly.
Anyways, back to being fucked up in high school.
Preach.
Yeah, now we're a lot more sober. Like, I've been smoking cigars lately, mm-hmm. and besides that, here and there I smoke weed. Like, I smoked at your house a decent amount.
Yeah.
But I've had weed in with me, and, like, I just don't use it. It's just, like, sitting over there in a pouch, and, like, I just, like, I don't have anything to smoke with, and I'm not gonna go buy something because I don't care enough to smoke.
Exactly.
So I'm just, like, whatever, like, I'm just gonna not. Yeah. Like, I just don't need to. And I realize that's the perfect balance. Mm-hmm. It's, like, I'm really an all-or-nothing kind of person. I think it's really cool that I have it, but I don't use it. And it's the higher level of discipline for me.
Oh, definitely. Being able to look at it, hold it, you know, have a bowl packed, you know, bong in your hands, lighter, fully ready to smoke, and then just not feeling the need to, being able to be like, you know, I'm going to go eat dinner, you know, I'm going to go to bed sober, you know, I'm going to go do this thing without getting fucking blitzed beforehand. And, you know,
it's a good vibe.
It's a good vibe.
My friend, I'm not going to say his name, but I have a friend who's been struggling with a weed addiction, and a lot of people struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've struggled with it, especially in high school. It took me so long to get off fucking carts, bro. Those carts, vape carts, bro.
Dangerous.
Oh, my. Dude, it's like when you go through a cart in like 2 or 3 days, that's when you know you have a problem.
Yeah, because at that point, you're high for what?
Like, you're
30
not.
Seconds?
You're like not even high.
No,
like,
you get a head rush.
You're like perpetually high to the point where you can't feel high anymore.
That's what carts do that.
It's like when your nicotine tolerance is so high, there's just no such thing as a buzz anymore. Like, when I smoke cigars, I just don't get buzzed. I just smoke it, and, like, I feel it in my, like, I can feel, like, my T levels raise. I can feel the boost of energy, but I never get the head rush.
Yeah. Like, people growing up and when I first got to work, people were always like, yeah, no, you'll lose that buzz. And I'm like,
you don't know what you're talking about.
Now I'm looking and I was like, damn, I haven't gotten a buzz in a couple days, maybe. And, like, they come in waves. They'll just be like, you know, oh, guess what? Here's one. Or here's this. It's like,
you know how, the best way for me to get buzzed this based on, like, it's when I do really powerful breath work, I can, like, make, I can get that, like, lightheaded feeling mm-hmm. from breath work alone.
Oh, yeah. For me, it was just, like, I do that, like, before I go to bed. It's like a meditation. I'll, you know, think about my day. I'll pace myself. I'll bless my socks, whatever. I'll pray. And I'll, like, in four... and out five. Like, I want to breathe out more than I'm breathing in, you know. There's CO2 in my lungs. I want to get it out.
Imagine you're inhaling positivity and exhaling negativity.
Exactly. You're, for a brief moment, you are, you know, letting yourself be. You're giving yourself grace for being here still. Yes, you've done shitty things.
100%.
Yes, you want to bawl your eyes out right now. Yes, you want to punch some things, but... you're here. You're okay.
You're alive.
You're alive.
Sometimes, there's people who might not make it to tomorrow. There's people praying that they make it to tomorrow who are in ICU at the hospital.
I know a buddy of mine whose dad literally just passed away in his sleep. Damn. He ran a restaurant that was, you know, going under, and he was just stressed out from it, and he just passed in his sleep. I was like, holy shit, you don't know when it's going to come, you know?
Yeah, dude, for real. That's the, that might be one of the realest things you've said. And he was probably under so much stress that, like, he didn't know. His body was so tired that it was just like, yo, like, I'm done.
Yeah, like, his heart just gave
like,
out.
I'm done. Like, I can't do anymore.
That's...
oh, sorry for the clock, everyone, but you know the vibe. It happens, like, every time I record a podcast at this point, so you must get used to it.
Is that that?
Yeah, it is that.
That's sick.
Thank you.
I love that. I was looking at that earlier.
Yeah, dude, that clock used to be hanging in our kitchen way back when.
Oh, way back when, before you did the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, and I have another clock, so I'm wearing a Bulova watch right now, right? Sheesh. And I have a clock that's a Bulova, like, wall clock that's, like, quartz.
Whoa.
And this one's also quartz, I believe. Yeah, this is, I don't know how to say that because I'm not really German, but it's, like, Verisheron quartz.
Mm-hmm.
See, it says it, like, up in the top. I think you guys can see what I'm pointing at.
I need my glasses, dude. I got glasses, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to wear these all the time. And then it started to hurt my eyes. And I was like,
wait, wearing glasses hurt your eyes?
Well,
are they prescription?
They're prescription. They didn't hurt. I just really did not fuck with the fact that they were, they had a blue lens filter on them.
Mm.
And they made everything a slight shade of yellow. And as someone who loves the beauty of this world and loves color naturally how it was intended, like a color of a car,
mm-hmm.
the person that designed that car and designed that paint designed it to be seen like that.
Exactly.
And I don't want to walk around with those fucking little yellow tinted
sunglasses. Bro, that's why I don't even wear sunglasses. Cause like I'll put them on once in a while for style, but I ain't putting them on unless it's for style at this point.
Dude, I see everyone like pulling down their sunshade shit, and I'm like, guys, you know why we have eyebrows and like this deep brow? So we can do this.
Yo, literally,
and look,
bro,
at the sun, and like you can see the horizon, and that's all you need to see.
Bro, they don't get it.
They don't. Bro, just furrow your brow. Just furrow your brow. Look at all these lights I'm blocking out right now. And I can still see you if I need to.
Right?
But 90% of the time, it's coming from up there. So you can just...
yeah, dude. It's like always above you.
Exactly. It's the sun, dude. If it's right in front of you, fucking...
yeah,
close
your eyes. Yeah,
it's Amherst.
Even if it's right in front of you, at that point you can probably just look at it because it's late enough in the day.
If it's early or late enough in the day, you can just look at it,
dude.
Like, fuck it.
The sun, 15 minutes after sunrise, 15 minutes before sunset, upgrades your DNA.
Oh, for sure, dude. I look at that shit, and I'm like, damn.
It feels good.
It feels so
good. Take some, like, deep breaths and, like, imagine all the energy from the sun going into your, like, third eye, straight to your pineal gland, and then just, like, channel that energy throughout your body.
Oh, yeah. To, like, a power pose, you just fucking...
literally, bro. Dude, literally. Mm-hmm. Yo, I love that.
No, best... best time for a sunset, though, 30 minutes after. Like, the way it hits the clouds, where it is in the atmosphere, I don't know. But just, like, 30 minutes after the sun drops below the tree line.
Chef's kiss. I would like that. I would like more of that.
Right?
I would like more of that daily.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I freaking love, dude.
It actually pisses me off when I can't see the sunset. Like, sunrise, I'm fine. Sunrise, I've seen a million of. But sunset, every sunset.
Bro, you get up mad early. Like, I commend you so much for that. Dude, I'm not a morning person. I'm such a night owl. Neither am
I, but it's just like, it's just something you gotta do. I don't know, like.
Dude, you just got mad discipline when it comes to it. Like, you're very disciplined in certain areas of your life, and others you're a lot more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can channel some of that discipline into these other areas, you're going to find yourself performing a lot more to the standard you want to be at.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I believe that. It's just figuring out how to channel that. Because, like, you
it's
know.
It's all energy, bro. It's in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a transfer shit. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, getting up in the morning, it sucks.
Oh, I bet.
Have 5 alarms and I will hit most of them and they're all 2 minutes apart. All
right. Mine are like 20 minutes apart and two.
I can't do 20 minutes apart. Cause you know,
I bang 6:20 then 6:40.
Damn. Wow. No, cause if I do that, if I say I have to be up by 6 a.m., I'll set my alarm for, you know, 5:30, and then 5:32, and then 5:35. Because I know if I sit there and I do 5:30 and then 5:15 or 5:45 or 5:50, I'm just going to, you know, go completely back to sleep in those 20 to 30 minutes. Like, those 2-3 minute, you know, little eye shuts is just enough for me to be like, all right, cool. I got my eyes shut again. I can get back up. I can fucking get up. Time to get up. Go.
Yeah. It's third like, alarm, you have to jumpstart yourself. Like, and that's where like having something that you really love doing helps so much with getting up in the morning.
Oh yeah. The like, mornings I get up for work, I get up. But the mornings I get up for myself, I sluggishly get up.
Well, yeah, but you still get up. That's your fucking discipline, bro.
Yeah, I guess.
Dude, like, I'm a fucking bitch when it comes to waking up in the morning. I, like, dude, I fucking hate it. I hit the bed, and then I'm just like, I just say every time I go to sleep, I just die temporarily.
Yeah, it feels like that.
It's like, and then I have to come back to life in the morning, and I'm like, fuck God, why does this happen every time?
But yeah, you're right. You have to jumpstart yourself. You kind of have to like fucking go into a little bit of a Delulu state and be like, time to get this fucking bread, dude. And do some push-ups, do some like drink some, chug some water, take a piss, brush your teeth, put on your deodorant, cologne, fucking brush your hair, shave if you need to, put on some fresh clothes, fresh underwear, you fucking stinky bitch, wash yourself, take a shower. You know,
damn,
get a
little. Bro. You got the whole thing down.
Because it's the morning, dude. It's the most important thing. You get up and you just jerk off in the morning. If you, like, on the weekends, I will get up and I will do nothing on the weekends. But if I get up early, but I have something, you know, 3 hours, like at 11 or 12 o'clock, but I still, you know, happen to get up at 7 or 8 because that's the latest I can sleep in now, it's like.
I'm getting there. I'm about there.
Yeah, it's like fucking, I'm just gonna walk around slowly. I'm gonna eat shit cereal. I'm gonna watch cartoons. I'm not gonna give a fuck about this morning. And then the rest of my day is shit. I'm like, damn, why is my day shit? It's going slow. It's.
Yeah, because you started off shitty.
Started off shit. So.
You gotta start it off with momentum if you wanna maintain the momentum. All right.
It's literally just like fucking getting up and cleaning your bed. What was that like? Some general or admiral was giving a college speech and he was like, make your bed.
Bro, dude,
make your bed in the morning.
When I started doing that, it changed my life. I mean, I only use one blanket and it's like all I have to do is put one blanket back on my bed. It's not tucked in. It's like
but it's still the idea of like, I'm going to do something I don't want to do. I'm going to do something I necessarily don't have the energy or compulsion to do or conviction, but I'm going to get it done. For real, bro.
It's that first win of the day.
It's literally the first win of the day. It's like, you know what? Fuck you. I did that shit. Look at me. Look at me, mom. Look at me making my bed. That's what it is. It's like, mom, I hope you're proud of me. I know you can't see me right now, and I know I have a bunch of missed phone calls and texts from you, but I love you, and I hope you will see this one day. This is all for you. I love my mom.
I love my mom, too. Yo, I missed her call last night. My parents were out to eat at a restaurant, mm-hmm. and they went to the Pearl out in Wellfleet, mm-hmm. and they were, I talked to them for like a couple minutes, but it was too loud in there, and they couldn't really hear me, so I was like, oh, just call me back when you're done dinner, and then I don't even remember what I was doing, but I was busy. I think I was busy freaking out about that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. So, anyways, long story short, I'm going to call my mom after this podcast and tell her I love her. You should do the same.
Damn, I might do
but the first same. You should finish this episode.
No, because what if their mom passes away in their sleep? They have to pause the podcast. They don't know what could happen.
Okay.
Never know what can happen. It's so true. Do it now.
All right. Pause this and then call your mom.
Yeah, everyone.
Tell
her you love her. Tell her you miss her cooking. Tell her you miss all the sweet things she told you. When
if your mom's still cooking for you, you're so lucky.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. I'm so, yeah. Mom occasionally will bring me food. She'll like, I meal prep some stuff. Do you want to swing by and watch some football? I was like, yeah. Zucchini brownies? Yeah. Dope. Football? Yeah.
It's so fire.
Love you, mom.
I've never met your mom.
She's amazing. She's a hell of a woman.
You went down to Tennessee a bit ago and ran a marathon with her.
Yep.
Bro, you know how much I commend you for running that marathon?
All right.
Dude, that's...
Everyone says running. I finished it. I did not run that. Me and my cousin, we started training at the same time. He's about...
It doesn't matter, bro. A marathon's a marathon.
But he ran it. He didn't stop. I walked. There were, like...
I remember you called me, and you had, like, 5 miles left, bro. And I was like, motherfucker, do that shit! Do it! Just do it! I was Shia LaBeouf on your ass, bro.
Dude, I remember, like, you answered the phone, like, so, like, oh, what's up? And then I told you what I was going through. You're like, you get that shit done! Well, fuck you! You finish that shit! You one foot in front of the other! I was like, okay, fuck, man. I guess you got a good goddamn point, dude. Fucking remember your training. No, that's the things people don't prepare you for in a marathon. The race doesn't start until mile 20. Like,
it's just one foot in front of the other, bro. But just keep swimming is what I tell myself.
Just keep swimming. Yeah, but it's...
And it's tell yourself you're a paraplegic. And you don't have legs, so then they can't hurt.
So they can't hurt. Actually, no.
I got that from Mac Miller.
That seems like something you would say.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, but it's you don't go out for 26, 30 mile an hour, 30 mile runs, you know.
Unless you're David Goggins.
Exactly. So you're going into that marathon, the most I ever ran was 17 miles. So I was still 9 miles short of the 26. So I was going into there blind. By the time I got to mile 20, I was... You know, a pain I have never experienced before, you know. And I asked my cousin, I was like, yo, I think I have to walk. And he's like, well, you walked all the time during training. And I was like, goddamn right. A thing we would always go back and forth with was, you know, you don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training. So he was just reminding me. He's like, dude, this is what you get. Like, if you just didn't walk those couple times when you felt like it, you would have gotten past that pain and you would be running alongside me, you know. Because he, during training, we always trained together. He never walked. He would just slow down, but he would never, you know, go to a walking pace. And he's like, dude, just, that's what you get. And I'm like, so... When people's like, oh, you ran a marathon. It's like, dude, no, I didn't. I finished a marathon. I walked for probably about 2 miles. But everything else was a run, yes. But no.
What pace do you think you ran at?
10:30 something. That's with the walking, so I was probably closer to a 9:30.
So that's like 5.5, 6 miles an hour. A 6 mile an hour run is 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's, you know, 10 minutes, hour, 6 miles. Yep.
So that's pretty good, bro.
No,
in my mind, bro, I'm heavy on my feet. Rarely do I feel like I'm floating. Like, I feel planted. Like, I feel like I am the earth.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work to push off with every foot.
Yeah. Like, I have to bounce so hard.
That's the thing, is like getting good shoes and getting, you know, good insoles.
My running shoes are Nikes.
Yeah.
Skateboarding SBs.
All right. That's not as nice.
Yeah. No, it's terrible, bro. They got like
some Hokas. You need some insoles. You need to go to fucking Millennium
Falcon.
Millennium Running. Millennium Running. Millennium Falcon. No, Millennium Running in Nashua, right by exit 6.
Really?
They literally have a foot scanner, like a Dr. Scholl's thing, but it's not a Dr. Scholl's. It's meant for running. They straight up told me that my left foot is a size 8.7 and my right foot is an 8.5. And I was like, oh. That kind of explains why every single shoe I've ever put on, the left one has been tighter. Good to know. My feet are just two different sizes.
Yo, that's fucking wild, bro. I mean, my left hand is a little smaller than my right hand.
Exactly. That was something the guy was saying. He's like, yeah, you don't think you have two different size feet until, you know, measurements are made and they're shown to you. And you're like, oh, fuck, they are just different sizes.
That's how it be, bro. That's wild.
But no, you can do it. I have flat feet. I have any excuse under the sun. If I can do it, you can fucking do it. You,
bro. I'm just gonna call myself a paraplegic, and I'll make it. I'm gonna do a marathon, and you're gonna do it with me.
Yeah,
because you're gonna have experience doing it, and we're gonna do it together.
I'm fucking down, dude.
Remember that day that we went to the Y and we ran together, and we did like 13 miles?
Yeah, dude, that was fucked. The only thing I'm going to say, though, is you cannot drink like that on the fucking course.
Dude, I drink so much water. I run on water.
You're going to need to starve yourself. Like,
starve myself with food or water?
Water.
Oh, bro, that's fucking ridiculous.
You're going to, like, mildly have to dehydrate yourself, because otherwise you're going to be pissing a lot. And what that pissing means is standing still, letting your legs cramp up, running back up again. You know, that is
I don't
more
cramp,
bro. No, but that is more
monkey
dangerous
eat banana,
than just like
no cramp.
No cramp.
No, but for real though, is it really that bad?
Oh yeah. Oh, the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my life was taking a nap after that marathon. Waking up from that nap, I wanted to cut my foot off. You know, you ever have, like, your foot spasm? And you can kind of feel that tendon in the bottom?
Yeah.
Think of someone driving a knife into that.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Paraplegic mindset. That's it, bro.
No, the one time I did piss, because at, like, mile 16 or something, I was like, I have to fucking piss, dude. Mile 1 and mile 16, I had to piss. But, no.
1 mile in.
I fucking stopped and my legs were fucking vibrating. They were warm to the touch. Not from the fact that it's hot and, you know, sunny out. It's fucking, these things are giving off heat.
It's like your Subaru after driving on the track.
You hear the heat clicks coming from it from the garage. Slowly cooling down. And then you have to get back in that bitch, crank it up, fucking exit the porta potty, just start sprinting again.
Is it hard starting back up?
For a brief moment, your legs feel like they don't want to move. They're like, oh, we stopped moving. We can stop moving now? We get a rest? And no, we still got another 10 miles, buddy. I don't know how to tell you that, but we got another 10 miles.
I've done a couple half marathons in my life.
Half, I would love to do a half. I wish I started on a half.
Not measured, but this running.
Yeah. Like, I wish someone got me into the race scene. And, you know, because, you know, it's a gated start. So you have the fast runners up front. You have, you know, work your way down. You know, I've never done a rest stop before. I've never ran by someone trying to grab a cup of, like, a Dixie cup of fucking Gatorade, you know. I wish, you know, I just did that beforehand so I had some knowledge of what to expect going into a foreign city and a foreign environment for a foreign, you know, cause.
Foreign race.
Yeah,
foreign race. Bro, it was all foreign.
Yeah, I was like,
you just like sent it.
Literally, my mom and my cousin were my safe space. I was like, please, guys, please do not leave my fucking site. We were on the shitty side of Memphis. We're like, guys, we got an Airbnb, and then we got in the Uber, and then the Uber went to the shit side of town. I was like, why the fuck are we here? Fucking, the Aldi's was two blocks away. Scariest walk of my life, dude. Like, it was the most peaceful fucking setting. It was birds chirping. It's 5:30 in the morning. There are motherfuckers out there smoking something on the side of the road. And I'm like, I want some fucking apples and some fucking milk right now. I have $20 in my pocket, and I will give it to you all if you ask me, and I will run back home. Please do not get close to me.
Yeah.
None of them did. It was nice. They actually avoided me. I was like, damn.
Bro, yeah, bro. I'd avoid you too.
I was scared of them. They were scared of me.
Bro, it's
I'm that funky white kid on the block. Oh, fuck. He's white. Get away.
Yeah, bro. Going back to.
He's not from around here, guys.
Going back to what's in the water.
What's in the water? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I swear, people, like, cities, you know.
Cityscape. Bro, I'm not ready for it.
Like, this part of town is a really nice part of town. Oh, we're going to give them really nice water. Oh, look, let's give them shit water. I think about that all the time.
Bro, you ever drink Manchester tap water?
Yes.
I've had a sip of it just to see if it was, like, palatable. It's not palatable.
Nah, you sip that water and then you look at fucking any of the tree streets and you're like, oh.
Bro, it's so bad. It's actually horrendous.
Shout out my fucking Manchester shoddy. I love you.
I love this. You're gonna have to send it to her.
No, she has a man. She's engaged. She's living at a place. I hope she's good.
You should still send it to her just so she starts listening.
You get one more podcast.
Yo, that was pretty good. We're about 50 minutes in. I think we're gonna.
Damn, this is the longest I've lasted.
That's what she said. Actually, no, that's what he said.
that's what he said. No, this has been fun, dude. Thank you for having me.
Dude, 100%. Yo, do you got anything you want to share with the people before we leave? Any social medias, anything of the sorts? Anything good happening in your life that you want to talk about before we end this?
Some guy said to me at the end of work today, we were just bullshitting, talking around. And I was like, Chris, I'm not going to lie, when I first, he made a comment. He was like, doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, like, who cares if other people hate you? It matters if you like you. I forget the exact wording and how he said it, but he said it with such, like, conviction and confidence that I was like, oh. I told him, I was like, Chris, I hated you when you first started here. But just because you said that and, like, it all makes sense now. You were never a person to come out here and seek the acceptance of others. You came here to fucking do your job. And I never saw that before, but now I see it, so now I respect you. It's like, you truly don't give a fuck. Truly. Like, some people will say they don't give a fuck about what you, like, they think about you. He just minded his own fucking business, did his shit, did not give a fuck. And I never understood that, but now I think I do.
Dude, that's how it be.
I'm like, Chris.
It's a powerful mindset.
Chris, you may be, you know, not the greatest of, soberest of men, but fuck.
You can get your work done.
Exactly. You may be a coke addict, but fuck it.
Get your shit done and you're good. Get your shit done.
what matters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. That what you just said is what I listened to, like, 5 minutes of this Bradley and Andy Elliott podcast before, like, on my way home, and then Luke called me. Mm-hmm. And basically, the biggest thing I got out of that first 5 minutes is don't give a fuck about what other people think about you, because the only person who actually matters is yourself. Let me rephrase that. Don't care about what other people think about you, because it only matters what you think about yourself.
Yep. Another one is, like, who else is there when you're alone at night? Like, no one, you may have people beside you when you fall asleep, but, you know, who's with you inside your head? It's only you.
Yeah, bro, that's why you can't make yourself better for anyone besides yourself.
You have to make it, yeah, you have to do it for you. Like, it's got to be you. Yeah. That's what I've realized within the past, like,
it was always
two,
you.
3 months. It was like, I have to, you know, there was so much external shit going on that I, you know, found myself out of it. And I was like, fuck, I need to do me.
Dude, your external world is created internally. So when you are whatever you are inside, that gets projected externally. And that's what you find. That's the law of attraction and the law of vibration in a nutshell. And then the law of correspondence. But all the laws, like all the hermetic principles, work within each other.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is solo. Everything's connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought about that specifically within the past week. You've been beside me for it. Like, just a better way of thinking has made me feel and brought better things into my life, you know.
Yeah, bro. Mindset is 95% of the challenge.
But it's also a lot of action, I've found.
Well, yeah, it's 95% mindset, and then 5% is do the work.
Yeah. Like, there's so many times I look at my laundry, and I'm like, I'm only going to do this so my future self can thank me. Like, just so I can come home the next day and have nothing to do. No chores. Just so I can get it out of the way.
Well, bro, before you came over, I didn't know what to do, so I just cleaned the house. So, like, I had 20 minutes, and I was like, I can't cook. I don't have enough time to do that. So what do? I'm just going to
tidy some stuff.
I'm just going to make the house look perfect, so when he gets here, it's going to be like, damn, look at his house.
And it's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I came here, I was like, damn, clean house. Exactly. It was fucking...
It's like, it feels good, right? When you walk in a place and it's like not like a mess. And not even like, yeah. And I mean, your house is never really like that bad.
It can be bad.
Well, yeah, but everyone's house can get a little bad. But yeah. My sister and her boyfriend went out to NYC this morning. And I was just like, I got home. No one's here. And I was like, I'm going to take advantage and make this house look good.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. So. We were going to end this a few minutes ago, and we just started shooting it again.
Fuck it. That's how it works. Yeah.
It is how it works. Anyways, thank you all for listening. If there's something you learned here, that was probably... I've had my fair share of terrible things I've done in my life. Rowan's been
also done
working,
my fair share.
Working on himself. We're both working on ourselves. We're eternally growing.
I love you all. You all are the reason I keep going. I swear to God.
Yo, I want to say I like your ankh on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
It's like I commented on it while you were upstairs. It was one of the first things. I fuck with it. It's a symbol for life.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the cross, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. And it's that makes it a symbol of death.
Mm-hmm. No, there was some guy in London that had a tattoo of it, and it was always a... Whenever he saw it in the public, he would always take a photo of it, and it was, like, his thing. So it kind of reminds me of, like, London and just, like, the optimism I felt when I was there. So it's, like...
Maybe you ought to go there. London's not a great place to be in right now. That's all I can say.
I don't know what the fuck's going on in the world. I'm probably not going to go for a while.
Yeah, bro. Dude, the world's a pretty fucked up place right now. We'll talk about it off air. No, but, anyways, yo... if you are being affected by the hurricane, or if you're somewhere in the Middle East being affected with this war, whatever it might be, I'm sending infinite blessings your way. And even if you aren't being affected by any of these terrible things, I'm still sending infinite blessings your way. And you deserve to be loved, you deserve to be respected, and you deserve to be great. So,
damn straight.
Have a great rest of your day. Thank you for listening. My name is Nate Sorrentino. This was Rowan McGonigal. And this was the Free Thinkers Emergence Podcast.
Bye-bye.
Peace.